Thank you for joining our Transform 365 podcast, a discipleship and teaching ministry of SWCC. We pray this teaching helps you to grow in your journey with Christ. We have some great resources available for you on transform365.com webpage. Feel free to download discipleship materials, small group teaching, as well as peruse our training workshops. Also take time to visit www.swcc.org for videos, teaching, and more. We thank you for listening and your support, and we would love to hear from you. So use our contact page and drop us a line. Now, for our podcast teaching.
Well, today we are talking about peacemakers and what that means. And continuing on in the series and continuing on in the mind of a disciple, because remember, as we've been talking all this time, in Luke chapter 6, it says that Jesus sat down and he began to teach his disciples. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says that he sat down on the hillside and his disciples gathered around him and he began to teach them. So who is he speaking to is so important. It's those that have committed to follow Jesus Christ with their life. And he begins to teach them, this is what I'd like to see be in your heart, in your mind, and in your actions. And here we come to an attribute of a person that claims to follow Jesus. Here we come to the mindset of a person that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. It's an attribute of a person of a peaceful nature. It's the mindset of bringing peace mentally to other people. It's a mentality. It's a being swift to share peace with others. And that's where we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. The seventh beatitude is the challenge to be a peacekeeper. And when conflicts arise, and there will be conflicts, brothers and sisters, whenever people have differences of opinion, you will be one that keeps peace. In a fallen world, the tendency is to ignore conflict and suppress it by forcing your own agenda with threat and intimidation. But both of those are violations of the integrity of this sixth beatitude. Because God doesn't want His people to be people of conflict. Nowhere in Scripture will you find where Jesus says, blessed are those who go and find a fight. Blessed are those who go and look for an argument. In fact, Paul even says to ignore people that incite arguments and they're just nonsensical in their way that they continually want to argue even doctrine. He's like, avoid those people. In fact, cut them out of your life because they're like gangrene. It's just cancerous. He's saying, avoid such people. And Jesus is saying, I want you to be peacemakers in your life. Not avoiding conflict, but bringing peace amidst conflict. You see, in God's kingdom, it's a blessing to bring people together who have been in conflict. And only then is it possible to resolve conflict and restore the relationship. Why? Because Jesus, as we just sang, is all about restoration. He wants to restore people in their relationship. Listen to what Romans says about this same topic. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on the other person. Right? That's what it says in your Bible? So far as it depends on the person that you guys have to go to because you're arguing so much that you need a mediator to go ahead and balance things out. Is that what it says? so far as it depends on the person that you're talking to about the other person, because that person is your main confidant, so you know you go to that person to get advice. You ever heard somebody say that one? Oh, I love that one. Isn't that a great one? I'm just seeking advice. So this guy, I really don't like him. He's such a jerk. So I need your advice on how you should not like him because I don't like him. That's really what people's advice is. Now, Scripture doesn't read in that way, does it? It doesn't say that in my Bible, and I hope it doesn't say that in your Bible. If it says that in your Bible, I usually don't tell people to do this, but chuck out your Bible and get a new Bible. It says this, if possible, so far as it depends on you. And I think you should underline that twice. Circle it and star it. Be at peace with all men. According to Scripture, who does peace depend on? You. Peace depends on you. Why? Because as a disciple, as a learner, as a follower, you have chosen the avenue, you have chosen the attribute, you have chosen the lifestyle of a peacemaker. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we're taking that peace and we're sharing it and we're spreading it with every opportunity that we can. Amen? Behind me, you're going to see a picture in a second, right there. Beautiful picture. And it's actually a borderline in between two countries, Chile and Argentina. For many years, and for more than a century ago, Argentina and Chile have been in conflict on the brink of war over the boundaries. I mean, they're just in a state that this would have become a world war because of their animosity and hate towards one another and over the forcing of the boundary and trying to take one another over. But finally, they realized the horror and futility that war brings. I mean, think of that. And they agreed to a peaceful solution. And what you see there is the monument on the decision that they made in 1904 to commemorate the peace that they had agreed on between the two nations. And the beauty of this monument is that that statue of Christ standing holding the cross was made out of the melted down cannons from both sides. And it represents the permanent boundary that both will honor. And the words were written on the very bottom plaque. It says this, sooner shall these mountains crumble into dust than Chileans and Argentinians break the peace which sit at the feet of Christ the Redeemer that they have sworn to maintain. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are people committed to bringing, to making, and to applying peace. Bringing it spiritually to be at peace with God. Think about that. Because we are at peace with God, because we no longer have a conflict in our relationship with God, we can now physically live at peace with all men. Why? Because there's no barriers now. Because Christ has sought me out. I can live at peace with you. Because I have no conflict with the Father above. because there's no judgment that can be held against me. I will hold no judgment against you. I live at peace. The word peacemaker here is the word eirene apos. And it's the combination of two words. Eirene, meaning peace, and poeo, which means to produce. And it's literally combining the two words of peace and produce, and it's saying, you are a peace producer. That's what it means to be a peacemaker. That everywhere you're going, you are sprouting up peace in others' lives. But we really have to get to the heart of it. How does one become a peacemaker? Because it's not just something that you wake up one day and you roll out of bed and you're like, hey, guess what? I'm a peacemaker. It has to take some actions in our life, doesn't it? Number one, I think definitely we have to admit that the number one step in this is knowing Christ for salvation, which is it's an assumption. If we are following Jesus Christ, if we're disciples of His, that means what preceded was salvation, right? They're not one and the same. You're not a disciple because you trusted Christ. You have to make a decision to follow Christ. But now you are at peace with God. So step number one, be at peace with God through Jesus Christ, His Son. So what's the other steps that we need to take to become peacemakers? How can you be a person that brings resolution between other people, that calms storms in people's lives? Because it's not just about Nikki and Lucci are fighting and I need to bring peace in their life. It's about Nick has an issue in his life that he's struggling with and I need to come alongside him with gentility, love, and peace. Peace isn't just about conflict. Peace is also about moments of distress. Colossians chapter 3 really gives us steps. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 down to 17, if you'd follow along with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. It says this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. So it says, because we as brothers and sisters, as family in Christ, because we have been called together and we're one in body, in mind, in thought, in spirit, in action, let peace rule us. Let's keep on reading verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks through Him to God the Father. Paul says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Whatever you do in word, do it heartily. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Whatever you do, he says over and over here in this passage, he says a couple things over and over. Number one, he says, let the, and the other thing that he repeats multiple times is whatever. He says it many times here, whatever, 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 whatever. So whatever you're doing, let it be for Christ. Meaning whatever actions that you set your mind to, whatever dreams that you've attached, whatever deadlines, whatever goals are set, whatever plans will be, whatever you want to accomplish, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to act upon, make sure that it brings honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Whatever. Whatever it is, make sure it honors God. So that's step number one, we're going to say. Well, number two, we already said step number one is knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Step number two, whatever. Make sure at the end of the day you could say, I did it to honor God. You know, my Bible teacher, he used to say this, my Bible professor, he used to say, imagine that whatever you're doing, you died doing. And that last thing you're going to have to talk to God about. He said, no, let's cut out eating and sleeping and going to the bathroom. But everything else. That person cuts you off. Do you want that to be the last thing you've ever said on earth? I mean, think of what we wouldn't do if we lived each moment as if it was our last, to bring honor to our God above. Whatever. The other thing that Paul, continually says within this passage is let's. Let's. Let the peace and let the word. Did you notice that? Let the peace and let the word. Let peace rule. He wants your attitude to change, not just your actions, but the way that you're living, the way you're talking, the way you're acting, and everything. And the actions that you're choosing to live by. He wants those to change. And that brings a change in your mind, in your lifestyle, in your everything. He says, I want this to rule you. I want the peace of Christ to rule you. Brabe eto is the word in the Greek. And it literally is to rule, but it's not like rule like a guy sitting there with a scepter on a big throne or anything like that. It's not talking about that type of ruling. It's actually talking about umpiring. It's the word that was used in the Olympic Games, and Paul is using it to write to a people that know very strongly about the Olympic Games. He's writing to a Greek people and he's saying, hey, listen, just like if you were running in a race, you would listen to what the judge says. Just like if you're in a wrestling match, you would obey what the judge says. You are boxing. You have to listen to the ruling. He's saying, I want you to allow peace to rule everything and every aspect that is in your life. Because it has the designated power to officiate your life, to guide your life, to call the shots in your life. I want you to live in a controlled mindset under the guidance of peace. And I want this referee to rule your life, to call the shots, and be the main thing and focus of your life. That's why in Romans 12:18, Paul writes very similarly. He says, if possible, like we had said before, so it depends on you, live, say it with me, at peace with all men. When you're living under the ruling of peace, when you're living under the guidance of peace, then peace is going to depend on you. When you're living and saying, God, you guide me through your word. Because remember, it says, let the word of God richly dwell in you, and then let peace guide your life. So it's the two are in combination. They can't be ripped apart. So you can't live a life of peace without the word of God dwelling in your life. He's saying, listen, I want you to live peacefully with people, and the only way you're going to do that is under the guidance of the Holy Scriptures and by letting peace call the shots in the moment. When that guy cuts you off, you're not going to yell at him and give him the Miami hello hand wave. You're going to say, Man, I got to pray for that guy. He's probably in a rush. Something happened. That's letting peace rule your life. That's letting peace call the shots. That's letting peace take over the circumstance. Let peace of Christ rule and determine what the result of the situation will be. You know, later on in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is going to say how, you know, don't be anxious, you know, in your life, and that you need to go ahead and live towards the kingdom. And part of that is this walk of peace, this decision to let peace rule your life. Because as you are living in peace, you're going to let the results of peace take place in your life. You're going to say, you know what? God's got it all under control. He's still sitting on his throne. So even though we are in this crazy pandemic and everybody's having to wear masks, and now it looks like we're, you know, all our Al-Qaeda or, you know, bandits trying to rob each other, it doesn't matter because we are at peace with God. And he still sits on his throne. And I know he's still my Savior. So none of that is going to really bring me down. I'm walking the way of peace. And I'm choosing to be ruled by his word and peace. You see, when the word richly dwells, you can remember those passages. Oh, Christ is still on his throne. Yeah, okay, no, it's okay. You see, Christ's peace, what is it? What is peace when it comes to Christ? Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, we're told that the peace is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says we're supposed to be shod with the shoes, with the sandals of the gospel of peace. And we're supposed to be quick to bring it to people. And it's supposed to be quick to live in our life. It's supposed to be a swift action that comes out. Why? Because now we're dwelling on Scripture, and now we're being ruled by this peace that is shod on our feet and we want to bring quickly to others. That's how you let peace be at your center, at your heart. Your boss has no say on what is up here, does he? Your boss at work has no say at what comes out of here either, does he? No. Your husband, he has no say over how you will live peace in your life, does he? Your wife has no say in how peace will be lived out and treaded out throughout your lifestyle, does she? Your parents, your teachers, none of them make the call for your life. As long as you're dwelling on Scripture and living and ruling by the peace of Christ, which is His gospel. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ rule your life. You know what the gospel of Christ is? He died, was buried, and rose again so you could have a relationship with Him for eternity. The heart of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is grace. You know, I love Pastor Miller. He used to have a saying, and it was, if you're going to err, err on the side of grace. If you're going to make a mistake in life, make sure you're being overly gracious with the individual, not implementing too harsh of justice. That's peace, isn't it? That's letting peace be on your feet to bring to people. That's letting peace rule your heart and dwelling on God's word. So our day is determined on who is calling our shots and umpiring our life. Amen? Next, to live peacefully and let peace rule and let the decisions be made by the word of God, we have to dwell. It's the word eneketo, and it means to settle the domain and the influence of. We have to let Christ's word be our main source of influence. Let the Word of God influence your life. You see, the problem with a lot of Christians today is they're not living as if they know Christ. But you see, the difference between us is we've made the decision to follow Christ as disciples. I hope you've all made that decision. I can't make that decision for you. You make the decision to trust Christ as Savior, and you make the decision to follow Him as your rabbi, teacher, Lord of your life. But I can't make that decision for you. And as disciples, we need to let Christ be our dominant influence in life, not just read about Him and go to church on Sunday and things like that. No, we need to let it saturate our life and live out. Let it be the dominant feature of our life. To where, as 1 Peter says, the thing that they talk bad about you is actually the good you're doing for the sake of Christ. People's words are not as important as God's words or the one who calls the shots in your life. Let God's word be the loudest one that you hear and the clearest one that you obey and live by. Amen? In doing these things, we're changing our minds towards peace. We're changing our focus towards peace. And we're pursuing peace. Seek peace and pursue it. Behind me is a picture, and I'm going to embarrass him right now. He's doing translation of George. Officer George! And it's sad, kind of, the narrative that's changed in today. And I don't want to get too far off on this, but the same men that we all hailed as heroes running into the fires and into the crumbling buildings on 9/11 are the same ones that people are now saying, let's just get rid of them. There's bad seeds in every bunch because there's a sin problem in this world. And us as believers cannot sit by and act shocked because a sinful world lives in sin. And we can't demand them to live any other way until they know Jesus Christ. But I have this picture here of George, because he's a peacemaker. Not because he's an officer. Let's just cut that out. That's part of why he became a police officer, was to be a peace officer. You know, that's what they used to call them in England, peace officers. George makes it his life to, anytime he's making an arrest or he's processing somebody, to go ahead and use that as an opportunity to speak peace into their life. And I was made aware of this because one day we had an individual that came into our church, and I saw that individual and George have an interaction right there at the back door where they were just hugging each other and crying, and it was just such a beautiful moment, and I was shocked. I went up to, you know, an individual that knows that person later on, and I said, what was that all about? Why was George and so hugging each other and having that moment back there? They know each other? That's so odd. And he said, well, because George was his processing officer when this person was arrested. And George, when he was processing him and he was looking through his story, and the young man was there crying and upset about what was going on, and yes, he had made a major mistake in his life, George looked at him and he said, you don't belong here, kid. And you know what? I think that there's going to be a day that I see you, and me and you are going to be worshiping in the house of the Lord together. And here he was, the guy had come in, and they were worshiping in the house of the Lord together. In a moment of darkness, he chose to speak life into the moment. In a moment where somebody else may have kicked and beat up and judged and looked down, he chose to go the route of peace and bring peace in a moment of uncalm within that individual. Rather than beat that person up for stupidity that he already knew he had done, he chose to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, and grace came out of his mouth. A peacemaker brings a message of peace, which, as we looked at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the message of grace, is the message of love, is a message of hope. A peacemaker sees the way to bring peace and make peace through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Amen? They see the opportunity and they don't just walk away from it. No, they're swift to go towards it. Because peace, brothers and sisters, starts with the cross of Calvary. My peace was purchased by Jesus Christ, my peacemaker. Psalm chapter 34, verse 14. Such a small passage, but packs such a mighty punch. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and read starting in verse 13. It says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." Keep your tongue from evil. Looking at verse 14, depart from evil. So what is evil within this passage? Verse 13 dictates what the evil is in verse 14. So what is evil? Oh, come on, guys, you're not asleep yet, are you? I promise you, guys, we're going to get out in a little bit, and you guys could go take your naps. You guys could... You know, I know all the dads in here, that was what they asked their kid. Listen, for Father's Day, I just want to take a nap, right? What is evil? Verse 13 dictates what verse 14's evil is. What is it? Your tongue. Gossip. Slander. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Peace is when your mouth is free from gossip. Peace is when your feet are swift with the gospel that makes peace with people. Peace is when you're dwelling on the Word of God. Peace is when you are allowing God to rule in your life. Have a mind for peace. Have a life for peace. Take in peace from the Scriptures and pursue it. Literally, chase after peace is what this is saying. I want you to chase after peace. Pursue it. I want you to be active in looking for it. I want you to be active in searching for it, in finding ways to live it. Make it your life goal. And you know what ends up happening? You know what ends up happening when you make this a decision and a lifestyle? Take a look back at Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Yeah, I got a whole other half of a verse I have to go ahead and finish out for you guys. Blessed are the peacemakers. What happens to those people that are seeking peace and pursuing it and living by it? They shall be called sons of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 says that you will be given the highest honors a man could ever get. Yeah, Will got a PhD, and that's the highest honors that a man could give another man, isn't it? Yeah, to give somebody a doctorate is the highest honor, even if it was worked for, because it was, that you can give another person earthly. But the highest honor that we could be ever given was the day Will trusted Christ as Savior and he was called Child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The greatest honor we could ever be given was to be called children of God. Not just children, because it gets very specific, sons. Why? Because you are reflecting the divine nature of God. When you are a peacemaker, you are reflecting Christ. When you are a peacemaker, you are reflecting the cross of Calvary and forgiveness and grace and mercy. When you are a peacemaker and you're bringing peace to other people, you are a reflection of your Father above. That's why he calls you son. Because God is a God of peace. Because our God is a God of love. A God is a God of mercy. And when God looks down and he sees his children bringing peace and being quick to bring peace and living in peace and dwelling in peace and letting peace rule their life, he sees himself. We show ourselves to be children by bringing peace in the workplace, in the community, in our homes, and in the entire world, every opportunity that we can. We're living the gospel of grace. You see, to be called a son in ancient times was a special honor. It meant that you were chosen as the inheritor of the land. You see, a father, it didn't matter that you were born first. You could actually lose your birthright. You could lose your birthright to a younger born. So Silas, if your dad got mad at you, he could say, "You know what? I'm moving on to Josiah. I'm done with Silas." That could happen back then. So to be given that title of son was special. It meant that you're getting the goods, that you're getting the money, and it meant that you would receive the parental blessing as well. We see that when Jacob steals Esau's blessing. So Jacob got the inheritance, but then he stole the blessing. He stole the prayer of his brother. It meant that you had a relationship with rights and privileges and dealings in the town as well. So you were under your father's guidance. You were under your father's name. You were under his inheritance. You were under his everything. It meant that you represented the family, but it also meant you resembled the family. And when Jesus calls you son, when God the Father calls you son, it's because he looks past your sex, he looks past your race, he looks past your birth and your status and your past. And he sees Jesus Christ living in you and through you. I mean, we've talked about this in Galatians chapter 3, and it's worth looking at again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29. Galatians 3, 26 to 29. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." How do you become sons of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ Jesus, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." God calls you child. Nay, he calls you son. Because he recognizes that you are an inheritor to the kingdom. And when he looks down at you, he sees himself. He recognizes himself in you. Amen? And it says that he blesses you for it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those that are quick with peace, dwelling on peace, living out peace. For they shall be called sons of God. Brothers and sisters, as we come and sit at the feet of Jesus, as we as disciples make that decision to become learners and followers, let's make peace a priority to what guides our life. Let's let the gospel be what is on the tip of our tongue in every instance. Let's let the gospel be at the heart of every decision that we make. So we make a decision towards grace. Let it be what we dwell on, what we live by, what we practice.
Thank you for joining the Transform 365 podcast, a ministry dedicated to helping you grow in relationship to Christ. If you want to know more, find us at transform365.com or on our church website, www.swcc.org, located in Miami, Florida. Until next time, remember, the only work in grace is to let grace work in you. God bless.